In particular, the highway bill that the House passed last week contains a measure that seemingly has nothing to do with transportation, and that is to permit private debt collectors to go after tax debt. That's something that the IRS has responsibility to do now, that it has tried to do in the past with pilot programs 2 times, but has failed miserably. But yet in this major bill is a provision that would reinstate that program, and another provision that would divert user fees that Customs and Border Protection gathers for transportation projects. And traditionally, that money has stayed within Customs for use in the department. So this is something that people basically didn't have a lot of good to say on our website. Of course, we have a lot of readers from the IRS, all to the tune of, we should be learning from history. If it didn't work before, why do we think it would work now?
And I think that's what's most interesting about this is, why does Congress keep going back to this idea? In many respects, private debt collectors have worked in places where there's improper payments. If you look at CMS, SSA, places like that, that has worked quite well. But the opposite seems to be happening at the IRS, which doesn't seem to be right, which is they do a pretty darn good job of collecting on their own. So why did some of the readers say that this just is a bad idea?
Well, this is interesting. I think there's some truth to it, too. On our website, federalnewsradio.com, in the comments, someone who calls themselves Fed Realtor writes, I generally lean conservative on most issues, but the GOP are absolutely wrong on this issue. It's clear they are still ticked off at the IRS and Lois Lerner, and in parentheses, and probably rightfully so. But these tactics of cutting off funding to the one agency that collects over 90% of the nation's income is simply stupid. The private collection idea has been tried in the past and failed. Taxpayers are uncomfortable dealing with private collectors. And he goes on talking about ID theft being a risk.
And that's such an interesting point, because the amount of fake calls that we get, not we meaning not just Federal News Radio, but we as a society, from people who say, you need to call the IRS right now, otherwise, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And people and people get duped by that all the time. And I think knowing that that's happening and that's a huge scam, it's interesting that Congress seems to think that this is a good idea to put private people in charge.
And the other thing that we got a lot of comments on with regards to this story, which is something that I wrote, is that it's unclear how these provisions got into the bill at this point. So this was the House took up a bill that had already passed the Senate. So these were put in by the GOP in the Senate. But at this point, I went this week to the majority leader, Mitch McConnell's office, and they said, look, we can't tell you who's behind every single provision in this major 6-year $300 billion bill. And so one person, Webb Johnson, says, I want to know what senators sponsor the bill so we can vote them out next election and maybe phone bomb them like they want us phone bombed by collectors. But I think this is something that, you know, me as a reporter, but also as a citizen, you want to know where these things come from.
And I think so much of the time you don't know where things come from, because things are kind of just, especially provisions, are slipped in and there's no debate. And that's one of the big issues with Congress, is the lack of that transparency. Emily, let's talk about the other IRS story that's been huge this week, which was the call for IRS's chief's impeachment sends a bigger message to feds. And Nicole Grisco, one of our reporters, did an excellent job really looking at the bigger picture of not just the political piece, but really the what does this mean piece.
Exactly. Her story, call for IRS chief's impeachment sends bigger message to feds, looks at it from 2 different angles. First of all, just looking at the history of impeachment, it usually doesn't work, but also about the impact on the agency and on how it's simply not going to be business as usual, despite what people say. The comments, and, you know, we get a lot of comments that, of course, people wonder about sometimes on these stories, but they were all like, take your pick. But there are other leaders that could be impeached and not necessarily John Koskinen. One of the names that kept coming up was the National Security Agency's leader, James Clapper, who told Congress that intelligence officials did not collect data on Americans. And of course, we found out about a year later that, yes, in fact, they were doing that. But one person who calls themselves Will 4567 says, I'm with Cummings on this, referring to Elijah Cummings, the Maryland Democrat. Impeaching the IRS commissioner who wasn't even in charge when the email issue arose is silliness. Failure to act, quote, with competence, as if any of the members on the committee would do better.
And I think this is what we're seeing here is this move to scapegoat. We saw this with the OPM data hack with Catherine Archuleta and the CIO Donna Seymour saying this is your fault, when in fact they weren't even there when the hack was happening, when things were set up. I think that what we see a lot of times is commenters frustrated over the process, and then they take their frustration out, for instance, on specific people. And unfortunately, we expect more from the members of Congress, not just to scapegoat the IRS. And I think that's what you see coming through here in this, the frustration from the story.
Yeah. So overall, not the best week for the IRS. I did want to talk about another story, something that was a bit of a sleeper hit, but one that I think worth mentioning, which is OPM hires a new cybersecurity advisor to address the data breach concerns. Our web writer, Jory Heckman, wrote this up. But basically, they are getting a senior cybersecurity advisor. That person is Clifton Triplett, who was a managing partner until recently at Steelpoint Partners, which is a global management consulting firm. And of course, this underlying all of this are the data breaches that affect pretty much everybody in the federal ecosystem, it seems.
What's interesting about this hire is two things, I think. One, number one, the acting director of OPM, Beth Cobert, is a McKinsey person. That's where she spent most of her career. She's bringing in another global management consultant. The second thing is, this is not the first hire that OPM has done around cybersecurity. They actually brought in a new acting chief information security officer, Chase Cord, who is, if I remember correctly, was over at OMB with Beth when Beth was the deputy director for management. So she brought him over to act as the CISO. So they're trying to beef up at least the policy side, the operational side of OPM. Now, this one question that leaves is what's going on with Jeff Wagner. Jeff Wagner was the director of IT security operations. He ran the SOC, the Security Operations Center. And I don't think that's been addressed. And I'll be honest, you know, Jeff's a very smart guy. I've interviewed him several times. He really seems to have OPM going in the right direction. So where does he fit in with Clifton and Chase Cord?
Well, and the other thing here is that in the press release that OPM sent out, they said that Triplett was going to help CIO Donna Seymour. And you'll remember that Congress at one point was saying that Seymour should resign. But by that, assuming that she's staying in place, she's not going anywhere. So there are comments on our website about Triplett. And, you know, it's like, hey, guys, let him start the job. But yet, I think they do deserve some merit. Somebody named Eddie James says, do not incorrectly title him as a cybersecurity expert. His prior experience listed on LinkedIn is in no way, shape, or form indicates any cybersecurity experience. CIO experience, yes. Cybersecurity experience, no. I think that is a big question.
But I think what's interesting is they're separating CIO from cybersecurity, and I think you can't. I think things are so intertwined. Security doesn't sit in its own shelf, and CIO sits in another shelf. I mean, every CIO I talk with, when you say, well, what about cybersecurity? They exactly know what their agency is doing around cybersecurity. Now, do you agree with it? That's a different discussion. But I think maybe Mr. James is pulling a conclusion that maybe is a little thin.
Yeah. And the other thing I think that came from this was, oh, well, this is fine, but, you know, will it really work? Phantom, that's what they call themselves, says the only way Fed agencies are going to be secure systems is to have internet systems that can't go to the internet. Even then, they'll have to guard against insider threats. And somebody that names themselves Don Trevanius says, as long as OPM and the Fed G think antivirus protection and firewalls are going to be their salvation, they could hire God and they will fail. So, I mean, we could crowdsource the solution to the government's cybersecurity problems.
I think what we've heard many times is the only way to solve cybersecurity is to unplug the computer, put it in a lead box, bury it underground, put a guard around it. I think that what OPM is trying to do here is bring in someone who understands the bigger picture than just someone who can do the bits and bytes.